In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Normally, if you're talking on the phone and you're in mid-sentence and the phone call abruptly ends, we tend to say that the call is dropped. But it was not that long ago that this word has changed. Because it wasn't so long ago that we remember that when we had a phone conversation, there was physically a copper wire that went between our ear and mouth and physically connected us to the ear and mouth of the person that we were talking to. I know this seems like the Stone Age. And when that call would abruptly end, we had a sense that that physical connection between us and that other person abruptly ended, and we said that it was disconnected. Well, a disconnection can be a lot of things. A disconnection can be that, or it could even be if I'm just having a conversation with somebody and we're sort of talking past one another. And we say that is a disconnection. And disconnections can be frustrating because they don't accomplish what we want them to accomplish. Disconnections, like I said, can happen in so many ways, in so many places. And today's gospel reading is a gospel of disconnections. We have this hypothetical scenario. The Sadducees came up to Jesus to ask him a question. Now, the Sadducees themselves were a group, were a sect of people who were charged with caring for the temple. They were followers of the law. I once heard a Southern Baptist preacher say, "Well, they were sad, you see." But these were folks who kept the law, and they go up to Jesus and they give him a hypothetical scenario. And they say to Jesus, "So there's a woman, she gets married, her husband dies, they're childless, as is the law of Moses, she goes to his brother. The brother dies, they're childless, she gets passed down till she goes through all seven brothers, eventually all of them die, and then she dies." And then they ask, "So in this resurrection you talk about, whose wife is she since she was married to all of them?" And Jesus gives us a response that is a bit mind-blowing even today. This is a difficult message for us even today. But before I get to that, this really is a gospel of disconnections. It's full of them. First of all, there is the obvious disconnection of a hypothetical and a reality. Hypothetical situations are fun to talk about. They kind of are mind games that we get to play with one another. These are the sorts of questions that sometimes converge a little bit on the absurd. These are those things like, "Well, if God is all powerful, can God make a rock that God cannot lift?" Or, "How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?" And these hypotheticals are kind of fun, even if they don't have a lot of purpose to them. But hypotheticals can be very difficult when you put a real human being into the scenario. You can talk about how something works in theory, but it's very different if, say, you say, "Well, God has a plan, God has a purpose for everything that happens, and that's fine to talk about until somebody's child dies." And then you have where the rubber hits the road, reality. There is another disconnection in here, and that is the disconnection between us. That is, those of us who live in North America in the 21st century, and a custom that began 3,000 years ago in a completely different part of the world. That is what is called a levirate marriage. It is the marriage set up that when a woman is in this scenario, she's married to a man, they're childless, the brother marries her, often as a second wife. And the scenario was set up originally to promote justice. Now, this may seem strange to us, but at the time, if you were a widow, and particularly a widow who had no children, who takes care of you? So it was a duty to take care of this woman. On top of that, the brother who dies without children, it was a big deal in their society to have the gift and heritage of children. It was who you were, was your inheritance of children. And if you were left without them, you have no legacy. And so the brother had the responsibility of carrying on that legacy. Now, I bring this up because we can understand this intellectually, but the idea that this would happen is completely separated from how our world works today. And somewhat related to this is another disconnection for us. That is a woman's role in society. We realize when we hear these sorts of things, a woman in the society that came up with this had virtually no value. In this society, she was livestock. And that's a terrible thing to say. But these rules were set up to give justice to somebody who had no voice. And they partly don't make sense because we today think, well, women and men are equal. They hold an equal place in society. And so we don't always intuitively understand where they're coming from. This idea of woman as property, it's completely wrong in our mindset today. And the last disconnection, which is still something important, it is the message of this gospel reading. And it was a disconnection for them then as much as it is today. That is the disconnection between what is important in our world and what is important to God. And here we have Jesus being given a question about something that was central to their understanding of society as it is today, and that is the question of marriage. And Jesus redefines marriage on the spot. And that was a difficult answer for them. But it doesn't end there, because Jesus says that God is not of the dead, but of the living. And I could expand on that and say that God is the living God. We had this reading from Job, which, by the way, was very fantastically read. That reading comes in the midst of this story about a man who has lost everything, whose friends are sitting here telling him that God has abandoned him. Clearly he has done something wrong. God does not care about him. And Job's response is probably one of the most powerful responses that anyone could give. I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, then my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see by my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Jesus tells us, now he is the God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. This idea of what is life, what it means to be living, has a lot of dynamics to it. Let me ask you something. If you look at a tree, or anything that is a living object, but if you look at a tree, when is the only time it stops growing? When it's dead. In each and every one of us, until the day we die, until the day our hearts stop beating and we stop breathing, our cells will be dividing, our bodies will be changing. Because that is what life does. Life is dynamic. Life is ever-changing. Life has a turnover to it. Life evolves. But many, many like to think that God is dead. And I'm not talking about Nietzsche. I'm not talking about atheists or secularists. I'm talking about followers of God. Christians who, while they may not give lip service, may deep down believe that God is dead. I had a colleague who one time a few years ago told me about after the service one Sunday, he was standing at the back of the church and as people were greeting him, one woman comes up to him and says, and says, if Jesus heard your sermon today, he would be rolling over in his grave. Now, what's wrong with this scenario? We know that Jesus is alive, that we have the living God, the God of the living. But there are so many that cannot see God as a living, growing being. They see God as stagnant. And likewise, many people who follow God cannot see the Bible as a living document that is guided by the Spirit. Now, I want to clarify something. When I say that God is dynamic, I am not suggesting that God is flaky or that God waffles. In fact, God is a solid rock. He's secure. He's steadfast. Because God always has the same core. From the beginning of creation until now, God's solid core is all about love and justice. But it is how that plays out over time and space changes and is different, and is dynamic. It is dynamic today in a way that is different from Jesus' time and different from Moses' time. The Sadducees, they knew the Bible. They were referencing Deuteronomy, this Levirate marriage, this type of marriage that made a practical sense when it came about. It kept the man's line going, and it kept the woman secure. For the time and place, it made so much sense. But when the Sadducees were looking at this, they stopped seeing it as a justice issue. And they just saw it as something to nitpick at. They saw it as a trap, a way to trap Jesus over the rules. Like so many, the Sadducees could not see God as a living God. In fact, they tried to imprison God in Scripture instead of hearing God speak to them through Scripture. And Jesus does something that is mind-blowing. He takes what they saw as sacred. He took what they saw as a standard for the institution of marriage, and he turned it on its ear, and he says that God sees things differently than we do. God does not play by our rules. Now, God does not break the rules, but the living God transcends the rules. But God's followers today, sometimes still, try and see God as dead, just as the Sadducees did. Because it's easier to get caught up in Scripture as black and white and ignore the living Spirit that was at work when it was written, as that living Spirit is at work today. So what do we do to follow God? To follow God, sometimes we have to disconnect. We must disconnect from what we think is important in this world. These are things like prejudices, the love of things, certain social norms or old ideas. Because God is the God of the resurrection, and there can be no resurrection without death. We need to let old ideas die, and only then can we see life in God. We must disconnect from anything that holds us back from seeking justice and love and integrity. And sometimes that means looking at traditions and even Scripture in a new light, throwing away our old ideas of Scripture and seeing it in a different way. Now, this does not mean that we throw the whole Bible out. We don't throw away Scripture or tradition, but we have to understand what is at the core of Scripture, not just on the surface. Not just as we have been told to understand Scripture. And we must disconnect from distractions. Like the Sadducees, sometimes the things that mean so much to us now can distract us from seeing God. And there are so many distractions in our lives that keep us from seeing God as the living God. But when it is that we disconnect from these things that hold us back, it is then that we are able to connect to God. We are able to disconnect from things that hold us back and connect to the living God. And this is the God that grows with us, who shows us how to grow. This is the God who teaches us to read Scripture in new ways. This is the God who teaches us how to love one another in this age and this place. What is it that we need to disconnect from so that we can connect with God? How do we let go of those things that are holding us back? How do we see God as a living God? Amen.